Thank you again, praise team. And again, as I say, how wonderful how the team just goes on. We have no baseman. We're missing Sean. We're missing Bradley. But the team is there, and they just lead us in worship. And that's how God blesses us. Amazing. We're continuing last in our little series of Coming Alive. Next week is the Sunday of Pentecost. It's fast, Peter, it is. It's kind of really, it's Pentecost already. So next Sunday is Pentecost. We'll start a new little series on the Holy Spirit, and we'll speak about the work of the Spirit in all of our lives as well. So we're finishing up this morning with Come Alive, talking about when Jesus rose from the dead and how he came back and he spoke to the disciples and he speaks to us. A man called Shakespeare said, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players." And the thing about a play is this, that you have to practice and practice a lot. First you do your own little thing, then you start putting the parts together, and then you come to that wonderful evening which is called a dress rehearsal. Final chance to get things together before it's the real deal. Life's a little like that too. We get opportunities to be part of this amazing gift that God gives us of God's plan and God's work in this world. But we need to take the opportunities, because opportunities are given. Sometimes opportunities are missed. But this morning we're also going to speak about opportunities of grace. To help us with that, we're going to read from the book of John, chapter 20. Verse 19 up to verse 29. You know this off by heart. I don't even have to read it, but we love doing the word of the Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, so Thomas means the twin, and Didymus means the twin, depending on which language you use. One is Greek and one is Aramaic. So Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So we meet Thomas in our story. Thomas, who was there for all the rehearsals, for all the practices, for 3 years. He was there with Jesus. He was there in John 5 when Jesus walked into the pool of Bethesda. Remember the pool of Bethesda, Jane? We were there. Walked in the pool of Bethesda. There was a man who was lying there for 30 years, couldn't move. And he saw Jesus heal this man and take his bed, and he moved off. And he was a brand new person. In John 6, he was there when Jesus fed thousands with a few loaves and a couple of fish. He was there in John 11 when Jesus stood before the grave of a dead man called Lazarus. And he raised Lazarus from the dead, and Thomas experienced that. Thomas was there in John 14 when Jesus said, I'm going away and I'm going to my Father and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I've prepared the place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. And then Thomas said, Lord, hold on. How can we know the way? Because we don't know where you're going. And he was the one who heard the words from Jesus when Jesus says, I, Thomas, am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Thomas had it all. And Thomas missed it all. Because in the moment of the final dress rehearsal, Thomas wasn't there. He missed the most profound, most beautiful moment. When Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, we're done with the practice runs. Here I am. I'm going to send you out. You've done everything. You've learned everything you can. So I will equip you now. Go and do what we have practiced. Can I just remind you of that? I preached a sermon on this, so I'm not going to preach that sermon. Can I just remind you again of this beautiful moment, why I say it's such a profoundly beautiful moment? Three things he does for them, and we can just read past them like this and miss it. In this final dress rehearsal, look what he does. He walks in, and the first thing he does, he says to them, peace be with you. And you're saying, yeah, we get it. That's how Jewish people greet each other. Shalom lecha. It's a little more than, hello, how are you, when Jesus walks in. In the Word of God, when these words, peace be with you, are put in God's voice, on God's tongue, it's more than, hello, how are you. It says, the struggle, the war is over. There is no more enemy. There are no more bullets. There are no more guns. Peace has come. A new dawn has arrived. So when Jesus starts with them, he says, because I died, because I hung on the cross, that was the moment that everything changed and my peace came. Peace that goes beyond what you could comprehend. What a gift when he says, peace be with you. He sends them with a commission. He says, go now, as the Father sent me, to come and train you and practice with you. Now I'm sending you, just as the Father sent me, verse 21, I am sending you. Go do the work. But then he does that third thing, because without the third thing, they can't do the work. And then he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Remember I told you, go back to Genesis chapter 2. When God made these little dust people, and then God breathed into these little dust people. And God breathed the Ruach Yahweh in Hebrew, the wind, the power, the spirit, the life, the fullness of God into them. And little dust people came alive, image of God. And before God sends them out of this dress rehearsal, he says, here's the most important thing. And he breathes. Go. You can do it. And Thomas missed it. He missed it all because Thomas didn't show up for that final moment. Opportunity given, opportunity missed. But I also said we're going to talk about an opportunity of grace, because just look at the story. A little while later, Thomas meets up with the other disciples. They're overwhelmed, overjoyed. You can imagine receiving these three gifts from Jesus. And they're saying, Thomas, you missed out big time. We saw the Lord. Can I just for a moment stop the story and just talk about us? The most amazing thing for me as a minister, in my life as a minister, I've been there, 37, 38 years being a minister. One of the most beautiful moments is when people have come to salvation. Where people have accepted Jesus, the first thing they'll say to you, I've met the Lord. And my life has changed, and I can't be the same again. And that's exactly what these folks are doing. We've seen the Lord. Thomas, you know, we knew him, but the risen Lord. There's a difference in the risen Lord. He changes your life. The moment you meet that risen Lord Jesus, your life never, ever the same again. We've seen the Lord. I know you've seen him, and I know you've met him. Don't miss the opportunity. If you haven't, just ask. He's there. Of course, we know Thomas's answer. All too well. He's so much like us. Yeah, right. If I don't put my fingers in the nail marks, I don't put my hand in the side, I won't believe. Because you see, for Thomas, seeing is believing. Isn't that what we say? Seeing is believing. Can I remind you who's the person who says that? His name is Thomas. He was one of the 12. I told you in the beginning of all the things that he saw, of all the places he was the disciple. He saw all this, and he's the one who says, nah, I don't believe that. All this stuff about Jesus rising, nah, I don't believe that. You know the sad thing? When I read that little piece, I think of the church. Sorry, Elsie. Elsie says, I shouldn't do that. It looks like I didn't remember what I was going to say. She's hard on me. When I read that and I think about that for myself, the sad thing too about being a minister is that you know that there are some folks who've been sitting in church for all their life, and they say the same thing as Thomas. If I don't see, they've been there, and they've seen it actually, but they still haven't had that moment all their lives. But let me finish the story, because it's a good news story. So we find the disciples gathered together again. This time Thomas is there, but can I remind you, as Thomas is there with him, he's still the doubting Thomas. He still doesn't believe the whole story. Thomas only shows up because he's there for the team. And then Jesus shows up again. Now it's so interesting, they still must have been a little afraid, because the doors are locked again. Jesus walks in. Isn't that cool? Jesus has a master key. You can close your heart and lock it up. He has the key. You can try and hide your hurt and pain and brokenness behind the walls. Jesus has a key. You can try and lock it all up. Jesus has a key. Praise God for that. He knows exactly when to walk right in and just unlock it and stand there and say, I'm there for you. He has the key. So Thomas, I believe that you wanted to see and feel. You're welcome, Thomas. Go ahead. And Thomas doesn't do it. He doesn't touch the Lord Jesus. Because you see, here's the thing. Once you stand face to face with the risen Lord Jesus, you know. You don't have to touch. You don't have to feel. You don't have to put your hand in there. The moment you stand face to face with the risen Son of God, you come alive and your life changes forever. But here's the cool thing about all of this. It wasn't Thomas. Thomas was still full of his doubt and unbelief. He showed up for the team. It's all about Jesus, because Jesus showed up that evening for Thomas, because Thomas missed the first opportunity. And Jesus is all about second chances and opportunities of grace. And Jesus shows up for Thomas. He shows them how to do what they practice. Because isn't he the one who told the story about leaving 99 to go search for one? And he comes right back and he shows them how he searches for the one. And I am one and you are one. And if we need it, he shows up even if we miss the practice. Even if we were not there for that final dress rehearsal, because Jesus died on the cross to bring his peace to me. He died on the cross so that he could say, I want to send you. He died on the cross so that he could say, look at me, I am risen, so I am sending you with the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm standing in front of you so I can breathe in you and you'll never be the same. And when Thomas experiences that moment, he can't help it. He says the words, my Lord and my God, the key to life. You are the one who triumphed over death by death and you bring life. But it's Jesus. It's not Thomas. It's Jesus, my friends. Jesus is the one who always seeks. Nathanael was sitting under the tree and Jesus was looking for Nathanael. Thomas was missing. He went looking for Thomas. Last week we spoke about those from Emmaus, those who walked out from Jerusalem. We're done on their way. He went and he went looking for them and he brought them back because that's Jesus. He's always looking. The risen Lord Jesus doesn't just let the opportunities go by. He brings opportunities of grace to you and to me. And all we can say is, my Lord and my God. For that's who he is. How different. He's not the one who judges. He's not the one who condemns. He's the one who seeks. He's the one who brings us alive. Can we say one more thing and I'll let you go? I love that last little piece. When he says, Thomas, come do what you need to do. And Thomas can't do that. And he just says, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus says, so Thomas, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You say seeing is believing. No, Thomas, it's this way around. Believing is seeing. We got it wrong. Believing is seeing. Because the moment you believe, you see the miracles. Central, because we believe, we've seen those miracles. We've seen the healings. We've seen God work in this place. We've seen God change lives in this place. We've seen the kingdom of God in this place. Why? Because we believe. And then the seeing will come. It's not because we saw and now we can believe. It's because we believe and all the miracles of God happen and we just can't help it. We just want to say, my Lord and my God. Ask a man called Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He was the first martyr for the Lord Jesus. When they take Stephen outside and they take these rocks to stone him to death. Young people, that means to kill him with stones. Doesn't mean to smoke stuff. They took these rocks to kill him. As they murder this man, go read that beautiful passage in Acts chapter 7. In faith, Stephen looks up to heaven. And what does Acts 7 say? And Stephen says, I've seen Jesus. Believing is seeing. So as you go out and you live your life, and he comes with this brand new opportunity, and the risen Lord Jesus stands before you. Blessed are you. And you believe, for the kingdom is yours. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer.